Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Emancipated Radio. This is Luis Fernando Mises again, and today I'm not in my campaign closet. Tonight we are in Times Square in New York City. We actually, my friend Jason Basler is our special guest today in the podcast, and we're hanging out, and we went to the Museum of Jewish Heritage earlier today, and it was kind of somber and interesting, and I learned a lot. But one of the things that I saw is that history goes in circles, and that's because a lot of us choose to not learn or be lazy about it. And what I keep seeing is what's happening right now, for instance, again, with the U.S. government, with the whole Korean, what is it, a fire and fury in North Korea. So basically, you know, because Trump's numbers are pretty low, he's tanking, he wants attention, he wants to be able to gain and regain power and hold power, which is kind of like exactly what, you know, all the warmongers do. They just want to hold it and not let it go. So this is just another way for him to feel important, to make everybody believe that there is a threat. And I'm here as a savior, and I will take care of you. And, you know, the enemy right now is North Korea. So, you know, for now, we're kind of done. I guess we've used the Middle Eastern people enough. I guess we've been using it since the 90s. I remember, you know, one of my uncles used to go to the Super Bowl every year, and he stopped going like in 93 or something, 91, because of the fear that, you know, they were going to bomb the Super Bowl and whatever. So the idea is that there's always a boogeyman, and when there is a belief that the state is not as effective, the state tries to be relevant and bringing a boogeyman on board. So, I mean, Jason, you can jump in at any time that you want to, but like the idea is that a lot of people fall for it because they really don't know about, I mean, we're talking about this just earlier as we were walking near the Hudson River, the idea that when we don't travel enough, when we're not, you know, we don't have a lot of diversity in friends, a lot of times we stay stuck and we don't see people as individuals, and you know, we start seeing threats, you know, either us, you know, this person's different or whatever, so we're afraid, and the more we're able to travel, the more we're able to, you know, hear and listen to other languages, people of different looks and colors and flavors, you know, we start seeing less threats. We start seeing more opportunities for commerce. So, I mean, what do you think about this whole thing?
It feels like people are kind of searching right now for a strong leader. And I guess some of this rhetoric is really resonating with people, regardless if there is any actual threat or if, you know, if there's, it seems like it's just going to be more saber rattling. Which, you know, we've already seen enough of. We've already seen that with different countries, with Iran more recently. But, I mean, if anybody's paying attention, I'd say that, you know, there's no real threat coming from North Korea. I mean, they talk crazy, of course, but, you know, just a couple months ago, they were caught photoshopping a nuclear
launch.
A launch, yes, exactly. So it seems like, you know, it's just more the same rhetoric, but the American people are just looking for something to grab onto, once again. And like Luis said, you know, it's always a boogeyman. So it seems like as of right now, it's just the North Korea. And if you turn on the TV, I mean, it's all over the place, all over the mainstream media. There, everybody's, you know, focusing on that, which tends to happen with any kind of news cycle. You know, if they know that people are going to view and fear sells. So of course, yeah, it seems like that's the new boogeyman, at least for the moment. You know, who knows what's going to happen in the future. But yeah, it seems like all signs point to it just being a big facade.
And, you know, another parallel that I saw today at the Museum of Jewish Heritage is that national movement that was riling people up and seeing individuals that looked differently than they did as the enemy. And I'm seeing a lot of that in the last 2 years since Trump has been doing, you know, when he did his run for presidency. And the guy, Spencer, what's his name?
The alt-right guy.
Yeah, the alt-right guy. He's not alt-right at all. So this interesting perspective that, you know, even some people are coming out of the woodwork with the idea of national superiority, and that's kind of laughable because, you know, this country is made out of immigrants, and a lot of people that are here are, you know, are, I mean, gosh, second, third, fourth, fifth generation, sixth generation American, and before that they came from somewhere else. So, and then like the rhetoric is that, you know, brown people don't know how to do freedom, only white people know how to do freedom. So like the Stefan Molyneux and other Christopher Kunt will, you know, kind of saying all those things. So the idea is that, like, gosh, walking here in New York City, I'm a city boy and I love it. And I just keep seeing even people that may look differently than you. You know, we are forced to treat everybody nicely when we have a business because we want repeated business. And then we start seeing that people are not so bad. You know, like, people greet me with a smile. They want my money, and you know, I'm there to buy their product or their service. And there is so much of that going on here. And where there is commerce, there is peace. If we don't allow commerce from happening, then, you know, the warmongers are going to take over because we're afraid of dealing with each other. So that's kind of like the importance of freedom is there. If we don't know one another as a community, being, you know, if it's a city or a state or a block even, you know, like they're going to be going against us in the sense of discombobulating the community, and it makes it so much easier to be able to win, to take over. Now, another cool thing that I saw at the museum today is that, like, the Jewish heritage, like, these guys stick together so much, and that's why they keep achieving so much. And that's one thing that's admirable, and that probably we all need to learn to be more cohesive as a society. What do you think about that, Jason?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I saw people, you know, bending over backwards trying to appease you with your different preferences for shirts and whatever. I totally agree. I mean, it seems like, you know, it's not the government that it's bringing peace. It's obviously the exact opposite. You know, governments have the incentive to try to stay in power by promoting fear. So it is the market that brings peace. I mean, yeah, we have to. I mean, you know, most people don't have the capabilities to grow their own food, produce their own electricity, you know, make their own clothes, etc. So we do count on each other in those voluntary interactions to become a peaceful society. And it seems like that's generally what happens. I mean, we have to, you know, work together in a certain sense, even though a lot of people would kind of say otherwise. Capitalism does promote that. And yeah, I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying.
Another thing that I want to add here is, you know, the sanctions. They have been promoted forever. They don't work. North Korea keeps getting their weapons, and like, that's just some kind of like baby food for thought, just to make people think that other things are happening. You know, George Carlin was really big on saying how politicians talk a lot without saying anything. You know, like they don't tell. You know, they it's funny how it happens, because after 30 minutes of a press conference, you leave with nothing. And so these guys are just there to keep their jobs, to keep their influence on other people, and to keep making lots of money and giving themselves and their buddies projects and contracts with, you know, city or state money or federal money. And the only one that always loses is the citizen.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, incentive from both the media and the politicians for the sound bites, you know, the simple rhetoric, the fire and fury like the world has never seen. The world has seen a lot of destruction. I mean, we're, you know, the United States dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, you know, and killing over 100,000 people. So, you know, if anybody has seen and produced fire and fury, it's been the United States. And, you know, across the world, that's why the American people are so disliked. I mean, obviously it's hard to distinguish the American government from the American people, but a lot of places around the world, you know, have a lot of resentment towards Americans. And I would say that's why, you know, we've caused so much harm and violence and damage across the world. And a lot of it is just for these politicians to keep their power. And, you know, the media will do whatever it takes, you know, to continue backing them. Once again, it's kind of the way the news cycle works. If they have, you know, something that people are going to be interested in or going to watch or click on, then they're going to continue to promote it. So it kind of works in favor for both of these people, the politicians, the government, and the media.
Yeah, that's always, you know, cui bono, who profits from all of this? And that's what we always should be looking after. Who's making money out of this whole situation? And, you know, we talked about it, the incentive of the sanctions, like that shit doesn't work. And it's just a way to continue the process of fooling, as they call the American people, you know? So it's even silly. Now, I don't want you to think that, you know, I'm a American hater or that I dislike the United States. That's not the case. I love it here. I think that we as citizens and engineers and doctors and street sweepers and bakers and, you know, you name it, we have contributed so much to the whole world that and we have so much freedom that, I mean, I'm not putting the United States down. I'm putting down the state that continues this division for its own benefit. It's like a virus, that like something that requires a host to keep going, and eventually, you know, it will kill us and itself. So I think we need to get some antiviral medication, which is the ideology of voluntarism. And that virus needs to be killed from the root. And that's another reason why I'm such a big proponent of peaceful parenting, because we can break this cycle in our own homes. So with that, I hope you like this. Luis Fernando Mises with my friend Jason Basler from the Free Thought Project tonight. I hope you can share this with us and subscribe. Thank you. And from the Big Apple, have a fantastic night.